If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. It divides families more than divorce. Families are racked with divorce, but you want a power that's able to divide a family more than anything else, more than even divorce? You know what that is? Money. Inheritance. How many of you have faced a situation in which in your family one sibling gets more than another sibling in the settlement of estates? I could tell you stories. And how that racks families because someone didn't get equal shares in inheritance. I know of stories within our church family where that has happened. And families are divided more than divorce over money and inheritance because it shows inequality and a lack of fairness, but it also shows greed. Jesus preached a sermon in Luke chapter 12. Jesus is preaching in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. And he's got thousands of people attending, out sitting on the grass, a multitude gathered. And he began to teach his disciples, and the crowd was listening. And he was preaching about the leaven of the Pharisees. Now get the subject of that sermon. The sermon is sound doctrine and don't teach what the fundamentalist Pharisees are preaching and teaching. And he's going on and preaching that we need to have sound doctrine and avoid the theology of the Pharisees. And he tells them about how wonderful it is that sparrows are sold for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten before God, and that you are more valuable than sparrows. His sermon continues. Everyone that speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. And they're going to bring you before synagogues, and they're going to persecute you. And he finishes the first service. And there's one guy in the crowd, and this makes me feel good. After Jesus has told some thrilling things, there's always one guy in the crowd that was not listening at all to what he was saying. As a matter of fact, he's tuned it all out because my guess is he is chapped and perturbed. He arrived to hear Jesus' sermon, but he couldn't get something out of his mind. And look at verse 13. Right after Jesus tells them all those wonderful things, in verse 13, there's someone out there that is thinking about the restaurant they will go to. Hurry up, preacher! I don't mind that, because that just means I don't have to be long-winded. This week I was teaching 5 hours in the morning, non-stop lecture, 25 hours worth, and when I get that way, I don't want to talk at all by the day is out. Jesus has put his heart into this sermon. He's tired, and someone in the crowd says to him, after he's preached about sparrows and the bad teaching of the Pharisees, question, Jesus! Teacher! Yes, Jesus says. Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me right now. Now that would discourage me as a preacher. I've just preached about the leaven of the Pharisees. I've told him about how sparrows are more important. What's on his mind? Money. Because unequal inheritance is horrible. I've heard about this. I know this has happened with families where somebody passes on and then they have a preference for one sibling over another, and the father and mother give more to one than the other, and it's very hurtful and it divides families. But this guy hasn't listened to Jesus. He's more interested in money. And I like what Jesus says to him. I'll tell you what, any preacher that gets involved in anything like that is an idiot. Okay, preacher, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you, you know, my sister and brother, I didn't get what they got. Come on, preacher, tell me. And look what Jesus... This is one time that I like Jesus' answer. He said, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" You get involved in family disputes and guess what? You'll have trouble. Jesus was a wise person. He doesn't want to get involved in that. And he said to them, "Beware, be on your guard against every form of greed." So he was saying to the guy, "You're very greedy." You say, "Why am I bringing this up?" Did you ever go to the prodigal son in chapter 15 of Luke? It's a story everybody loves, that the father took back the prodigal. This guy took all of his inheritance. Suppose you had a brother that said to your father who had money, "Okay, Dad, I want my money now." So your dad forked over a whole bunch of money, his best car, and gave it to your brother. And his brother went out, spent it all, ends up, you don't want to do this as a Jewish boy, ends up farming pigs. Eating what the pigs eat. So the kid goes back home and says, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that." And everybody loves the fact that the father embraced him. And then you know what the father did? Gave him money and the finest ring and put a coat on him and restored his inheritance. And you know what the other son said? "Hey, that's not fair, Dad. He spent it all." Go to Luke 15. He spent it all. Luke 15:30. "But when the son of yours came, he who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the best and gave him a fatted calf. And you said to him, 'My child, you've all... I'm mad at you, Dad. He spent his inheritance. Now do I have to split mine with him?'" Money divides families. What's your point, Pastor Dave? Well, we're going to find out something amazing in Hebrews chapter 11 as we end up Hebrews chapter 11. God is very fair. And when God planned the new covenant and the walk of faith, we're going to learn something that's very amazing here. We've seen in Hebrews chapter 11, Old Testament saints. And there's something that I do to emphasize we're not under the old covenant. I tell you, here is the old covenant. We're not under it. Jesus has inaugurated the new covenant. But God wants us to know that He is a God of fairness and equity. And look what it says after we've gone through all of these Old Testament saints. Look at verse 39. "And all these gained approval through their faith, did not receive what God has promised." You see, if they had received what God had promised, guess who would get on the short sheeted end of it? New Testament saints. Now, we've been in this chapter long enough that I know I have to go back in chapter 11 just a little bit because I want to shock you this morning. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 13 because this is ignored by theologians. "All these died in faith." Who does he mean, all these died in faith? Abraham? Sarah? All of the Old Testament, Old Covenant saints died in faith. Trusting in what? The promises of God. But look what this says in verse 13. Without having received what? Now, I guess this will show how bad of a preacher I am. But Abraham, Sarah, all of the Old Testament saints died in faith, but never collected on the promises of God. Did you know that? Now let's go back for a second and let's, first of all, it says the promises. Okay. Do you know what promises those are? Well, let's go back and look at what God had promised Abraham and Sarah and what had been going on. Go back to Genesis. Chapter 12, we're not going to spend much time, but Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. And he says, Abraham, go forth from your country, leave everything to the land which I will show you. And you know what? Abraham never got that land. Theologians aren't looking very carefully at these verses because Abraham never got that land. Let's go to chapter 15. And the Lord came to Abraham in a vision and said, Abraham, I'm with you. And he said, I want that heir so that I can get that promise. We haven't told you what that promise was, but the promise was land. But it's more, much more than Palestine. As a matter of fact, Palestine is merely the pop-up book, physical representation type of what God is promising His children. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you an heir. And it says Abraham in verse 15:6, believe the Lord. Go to the land and you'll possess it. Verse 7. But we now know from Hebrews, guess what? He didn't receive the promises. Now go to chapter 22 of Genesis. After he gets that child that would be the one who through whom the promises would come, God says to him, Abraham, since you did not hold back your son, I'm going to do something amazing above all that you can ask or think. Verse 17, I'm going to greatly bless you because you did not withhold something that meant more to you than life itself. I will greatly multiply your what? 17 of 22. Huh? Not only am I going to give you one, I'm going to take and give you seed. And that seed, because you wouldn't hold back your only son, because your seed will be like the stars of heaven. Like the sand on the seashore, your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. In other words, instead of God being stingy, God was going to do something beyond the ability of Abraham even to understand how much God would bless him in these promises of the inheritance of a land. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. God does not give inheritance to some and cheat others. Now let's see how this works out. Go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, because Paul brings this out. Paul unpacks what God had in mind. Abraham, you're going to have millions and millions like the stars of children. And in Galatians chapter 3, we read some amazing things. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, even so Abraham believed God and reckoned it to him as righteousness. Therefore I be assured that it is those who are of faith who are the children of Abraham. Did you know what God had in mind? That the people of the old covenant and the people of the new covenant would receive equal inheritance and blessing. Equal. God will not rob either side like that. Please tell my brother to give me. I want what's God's going to give it. All those who are of faith and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. In the old covenant, what were Gentiles? They were what? Dogs. They were what? Excluded. They were what? But you see, God had in mind equal inheritance. And He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. You see, when God saves people, He is no discriminator against persons, nations. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. And then he goes and he says this. As he goes through this, he says this. In verse 14. I've got to find it. I don't know why I can't find it. I should have. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Did you know you have as much inheritance with Abraham as a Gentile as you do under the old covenant? God will not give you 20% and Abraham's other children 80%. He's going to give it all and bless. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham, verse 16, and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds, referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is the Messiah. What I am saying is this, that all those who are the seed of Messiah, and how do you get that? Verse 28. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Jesus, Messiah, then you are Abraham's offspring, you are his seed, heirs, according to promise. Did you know that? There's some bad theology out there that makes discrimination between Jew and Gentile. It says that God has united us in one body and that our inheritance is equal and that we are the seed of Abraham because we are in Christ. Now watch how this works back in Hebrews chapter 11. All these died in faith in the old covenant. But God didn't have just the Jewish people in mind. He had all nations in mind. Without having received the promise, but having seen them, verse 13, and having welcomed them from afar and from a distance, and having confessed that they were what? Strangers. Listen to me. Once you become the seed of Abraham, through Jesus Christ, trusting in Him as the seed of Abraham, you lose your earthly citizenship. You don't belong here. This is not your home. This is not what God had in mind. And it wasn't just a strip of earthly land that God had in mind. God had in mind something more wondrous. You know, we limit God to a strip of land in the Middle East. That's only a pop-up book. That's only a type of which God is going to do something more marvelous than man ever realized, and He's not going to exclude, He's going to include, and He is going to bless equally. And look what it says. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Did not Abraham seek a country? Did he find it? No. And there's a reason why. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have returned. But as it is, they desire a better country. Would you really want to inherit a strip of desert land in the Middle East? Not much rain, scorpions. All that was a type of what God was going to do in a way that you cannot even begin to understand in what is coming. But as it is, they desire a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a what? And you know what it's called? Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. And when God's people arrive in the New Jerusalem, the overwhelming feeling that God's people will have is, this is where I have always been. Now look what he says in concluding chapter 11 with 39 and 40. We looked there briefly, but now we have to go back. And all these are all Old Testament saints under the Old Covenant. Except for Noah and Enoch and a few others. But all those under the old times died. And how did they die? Trusting that God would fulfill His promises. And guess what it says? Having gained approval through their faith, and guess what? Did not receive what was promised. You mean to tell me, Pastor Dave, when David was fighting the Philistines and finally had his kingdom, that wasn't the end of what God had in mind? Absolutely not. Do you know why God made a big deal about that first generation of Israelites? They didn't have faith, so they didn't get into the promised land. He wasn't referring ultimately to the fact that they didn't get into Jerusalem. He was referring to that promised new Jerusalem that they would get into. And none, not Abraham, not Enoch, not Samson, not Jephthah, not Barak, not David, not Isaiah, none of them have received what God has promised. They didn't get the inheritance yet. Why? The next verse tells us why. Because God has provided something better for what? Us. Who's the us? The church. Us. In other words, the Old Testament saint, the New Testament saint, will be unified and given the heavenly Jerusalem. And then he says something that is very shocking.
So that apart from us, who's the us? They, who's the they?
The Old Testament saint.
So apart from us, the church, those who are in this new covenant should not be made perfect apart from us.
Did you know what this just said? God didn't see the exclusion of some to others. Under the old covenant, there was only one group of people that was chosen, but they didn't get their inheritance. Do you know why? Because God said it will be in Christ, and it will be through those who are faith in Christ, and until the last person of the church has been put into the body of Christ, guess what Abraham gets? Nothing. Now that's why I go back to inheritance. I've seen inheritance divide and destroy families because in inheritance, you know what you think? Your mother and father treated the other siblings more special than me. And we all have this idea, we somehow think, you know, Abraham got treated specially, but Abraham hasn't gotten what God had in mind yet. No Old Testament, Old Covenant saint has received what God has in mind yet. These all died trusting that God would provide it. Well, what has delayed the promises of God? You. God said, I don't want to be stingy. I want all of the nations to be blessed as the seed of Abraham, not just a narrow range few. And so God inaugurated through Jesus the new covenant that put all of those in faith in the old covenant and folded them into the new covenant. And until the last Christian, goy, Gentile, bacon eater, has been included into the family of God, no Old Testament saint can inherit anything until God says, all of my people have been called and have been found. And then Jesus said this. And I want to shock you in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Matthew 8, verse 11. A goy centurion. You know what the word goy is? That's a derogatory term toward Gentiles. Matthew is the book of the king who comes to the Jewish people and they reject him. And a centurion, a Gentile, comes up to Jesus and Jesus' people are rejecting him. And he says, Lord, will you heal my servant? And Jesus said, I sure will. And that centurion, unsaved Gentile, has more faith in Jesus than the Jewish people have been showing. Now when Jesus heard this faith of this unsaved centurion, he marveled and said this, and this shows you what always was in Jesus' mind. Truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Now listen to me. That means this. Who should have been the ones that had faith? God gave him His Word, gave him the promises. But you know, you can become spoiled brats if you have too much, can't you? I know some spoiled brats. And when you're spoiled, you don't appreciate what God has done. And you begin to think you're special and you deserve it. and you become a spoiled brat. You ever met a spoiled brat before? Jesus came to his own people under the old covenant, and they were spoiled brats who had been treated special. And they got real arrogant. And Jesus was hurt in his humanity that they have been rejecting him. And here is what he said.
And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chapter 11.
We're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to be in that promised new kingdom of Jesus, the Messiah. And it won't be some dry, desert, dusty place. It will be marvelous with the Messiah. And we're going to be joint heirs with Jesus. And there won't be any more distinction. And we're going to sit down. What would you like to ask Abraham, Isaac? Who would be the saint that you'd like to sit down and have an hour with? You'll be able to have it because you'll sit down as joint heirs. No difference, equal inheritance with these people. God does not show a respecter of persons. But it says this warning. In the kingdom of heaven, which is what Abraham was looking for under the Messiah. But the sons of the kingdom, who are those? The Jewish people that thought they had privilege. That on their basis of their physical lineage alone. And they didn't live up to the word of God. It says, but the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what he was saying? God is no respecter of persons, and genetic ancestry is nothing. And when God gives His promises to us, nobody under the old covenant can get it until what? We get equally the promises of God. That's why Paul said he broke down the middle wall of partition. He took those who were far off. Look, just go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Look what Paul reminds us of what Jesus did. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. Therefore remember that formerly you Gentile dogs in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Remember that you were at one time excluded from Messiah, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God, but now in the seed, Jesus Christ, who formerly were far off,
have been brought near. And given equal. And as a matter of fact, God says, until the last Gentile dog has been brought in to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, nobody in old times gets any promises until everybody gets equally what God had in mind all along. And they're waiting for a city. And one day Jesus Christ will break through those clouds and we will be home. Because they can't inherit what God promised until we do. You don't serve a God that shows special privilege to some, giving more than to others. He will shed His blessings on old and new covenant saints equally. And that's what the writer has been saying throughout this whole thing. All of those people. Now listen to me, that means this. Have you inherited the promises of God yet? Have you? No. The promises of His kingdom are still waiting. You say, I wish the Lord would hurry up and return. You know why He's not returning right now? Because there's that one last soul that He wants to shed His blessings upon. What if He had come before you were able to be in the covenant? God does not exclude. He wants every last soul to be included. And when that last soul that He has planned to be included in that heavenly Jerusalem, that new kingdom of Jesus Christ, where He will rule and reign, God will show mercy on everyone until the full number has been completed. And He will not give inheritance to one that is better than the other. He will shed His love and the inheritance to us all equally. And none of us will have anything to complain about, because He has in mind inclusion of all nations, not just some.